Frozen in Time by Ali Sparks. Chapter 11. The shop girl stopped chewing and let her mouth hang open for a few seconds while Polly squeaked and struggled to get herself under control. "Oh my goodness, oh my goodness," she breathed. "You, oh gosh, you've got her something awful stuck in your eyebrow. Oh, Rachel, hurry, look for a first aid kit." The girl at the till was narrowing her eyes at Polly now and slapping the change down on the counter. In her right eyebrow was a sharp silver stud, the kind that pokes through on either side. Ben and Rachel saw them on people's faces all the time in town. Rachel thought they were pretty nasty, especially the lip or tongue ones, but was certainly not shocked by them. Who was these days? "Iodine or germaline, that's what we'll need, and some sticking plaster," went on Polly, grimacing at the offending eyebrow with a great concern and sympathy. The girl curled her lip dangerously as she thumped to carry a bag of their goods on the counter. "Are you taking the..." "Polly's just a bit, odd," said Ben hurriedly, picking up his change and propelling Polly away, while Rachel snatched up the bag and yanked a gaping Freddy along by one arm. Ben made a twirling gesture with his finger at his temple and grinned at the glowering shop girl. "She doesn't mean any harm." He shoved Polly out through the door and Rachel dragged Freddy swiftly outside too. "What? What? I just wanted to help that poor girl," squawked Polly. "She was horribly injured, didn't you see? It was awful." Ben and Rachel looked at each other. There was going to be so much explaining to do. After the ice cream and Coke, the cans also caused great amazement, apparently. Apparently, Coke only came in bottles in 1956. They decided to go back up Poppycock Hill and then go off-road along with a winding track to the top, where a small clump of trees offered some shade and a good view of the Amhill Valley spread out below them. It was just as well to do another bike ride. Freddie and Polly, even without any E-numbers in their ice cream, had experienced a bit of a sugar rush and were both buzzing with amazement and excitement. "They want a spike through their skin. They actually want that," Freddie kept repeating as he put Bessie back into her basket below his handlebars. "And through their tongues. Are they lunatics?" "Girls really get tattooed." Polly was shaking her head and there was a mint ice cream on her nose. Her pupils were wide and glassy. "Really? Girls do?" 21st century overload, Ben said to Rachel. "Ice cream, cars, coke in cans and piercing. They're freaked. Let them get cycling again." Once again, fueled by more sugar than they normally consumed in a week, the brother and sister stormed ahead up the road, but Ben and Rachel finally got to be smug when they reached the off-road path. While Freddie and Polly had to get off and push their bikes almost immediately, Ben and Rachel were able to show off and ride easily up the stony track for some way on their chunky all-terrain tyres. It was lunchtime when they reached the little clump of trees and all four, plus Bessie, gratefully sank into the tall, cool grass beneath the branches. Ben had to explain that, yes, you really did buy water in bottles these days, as he poured it from the bowl for Bessie to drink. She lapped it up eagerly and then scoffed a whole sachet of puppy food while they got out their own lunch. Polly laid out the checked cloth. Rachel had absolutely no idea where she had found such a thing. Their mum was more like to bring bin bags to a picnic than a cloth. And set out foil-wrapped sandwiches of corned beef and pickle. Little wax-wrapped round cheeses came out with them. "I put those in," said Rachel, "and a plastic tub full of diced cucumber and tomato from the fridge." "I didn't put those in," added Rachel. The Tesco delivery had come earlier that week and the salad stuff hadn't yet gone off. Amazingly, Polly had also managed to find a couple of flasks, which she had washed thoroughly and filled with hot tea, and four tin mugs, which were also strangely clean and shiny. "There's ginger cake and apples to follow, but only after the sandwiches," said Polly, patting the cake package primly. Ben grinned. It was like having a miniature mother with them. Polly, wearing beige shorts and a blue high-necked blouse and her wavy dark hair held neatly back with matching blue clips, was so funny. Freddie clearly didn't think anything of it. He just grabbed a couple of sandwiches and started to munch. "Ahem," said Polly. "Thanks, Suth," he mumbled, his mouth stuffed. He gulped. "I'm absolutely famished." Polly beamed as they all got stuck into the food, Ben and Rachel taking care to say thank you. She bit into her own sandwich and sighed happily. "I don't know why it is," she said after a gulp, "but food eaten outdoors always tastes heaps better." "Unless there's a wasp in it," observed Ben. He'd nearly eaten one once. It had hidden in a jammy dodger. "Oh, just feel that sun," went on Polly, ignoring him. "We shall all be brown as berries. We'll just look like little Indians." "Two things," blustered Ben. "First, now really pay attention. You can't say we look like little Indians. Why ever not? It's disrespectful to Indians, especially little ones. Freddie and Polly looked at each other, mystified. And we can't get brown as berries because we'll end up with deadly skin disease, asked Rachel. We should have put cream on before we left, really. When Mum's home, we can't get outside the house any time after March without being coated in goo. The sun's much hotter than it used to be in 1956. More dangerous. Seems just the same to me, said Freddie. Tell them about the ozone layer, Ben, sighed Rachel. She was only just beginning to realise that enormous task lay before them. How on earth were they ever going to explain everything that Freddie and Polly needed to know? There was more than 50 years' worth of stuff to catch up on. Ben was explaining the ozone layer and his great aunt and uncle were looking very sceptical. Polly, though, pulled her bare legs back into the shade. You've got to learn a lot, said Ben, echoing Rachel's thoughts. Fair enough, nodded Freddie, but we'll catch up soon. You see if we don't. It'll have to be soon. We haven't got much time, you know. Before what? Freddie screwed up his foil and threw it expertly at Polly's head. Before you go to school. We'll go back next week, and if you're going to get signed on to all the registers and everything, you'll have to be coming with us. Well, it's not as if we've never been to school before, said Freddie. I mean, how different can it be? You still get masters, I dare say. You don't get taught by robots or anything. Teachers, not masters, corrected Ben. And to be honest, some of them are about as human as robots. All right then, teachers, and desks and blackboards and chalk. Tables, whiteboards and markers. Oh, and interactive screens, smartboards, PowerPoint, internet access, computers and so on. Freddie and Polly, now on their ginger cake, glanced at each other and back at Ben. You'll have to have some lessons in all this stuff, he said, looking at Rachel, who nodded. I mean, even if we do pretend you've been off living in a hippie commune all your lives, you have to know about some of this stuff. You just have to. The internet's amazing. You can learn about anything on it, said Rachel, and get almost anything from it. We might even be able to find you a Miss Rosebud, Polly, on eBay, maybe. Uncle Jay might let us use one of his computers. What's eBay? Asked Polly, cuddling Bess close to her. Oh, it's a thing on the net where people buy and sell stuff. Polly looked blank. On the net? Yeah, a website. Oh, sorry. You won't know anything about websites yet, of course. Well, my father's study was a dreadful website, said Polly, stroking Percy's ears. I used to have to tidy it up because Mrs. M wasn't allowed in there. The duster would get covered in webs because he wouldn't let me in for weeks sometimes, when he was really in the thick of some research. I can't abide cobwebs in corners. It's really poor. When I'm a housewife, I'll never let cobwebs build up in my home. No, no, quite right too, muttered Rachel. She didn't have the first idea how to explain the internet to Polly. She thought she'd leave that to Ben. Ben lay back on the grass and watched the clouds passing overhead. His brain hurt just trying to think about all the stuff Freddie and Polly needed to understand. He flopped his forearm over his eyes and tried not to panic. He pictured all the kids in his year, sneery Jim Lewis and obnoxious Rolly O'Neill. The Pincer twins with their habit of doing wrist burns to anyone they'd just met, and beefy Lorraine Kingsley, who smoked like a chimney in the girls' toilets and had once headbutted a teacher. He thought of all these glorious examples of modern youth waiting to meet Freddie and Polly, and shuddered. We'll get some magazines and newspapers and stuff from, and some batteries for the radio, he said, from under his arm, and see if Uncle Jay can mend the telly and get the satellite dish back up. And for the next week, you're going to have to learn everything you can. If you can't do that and you'll turn up at Amhill Secondary School like you are now, well, we might just as well put you back in the sleeping chambers because, trust me, your life won't be worth living. Freddie rolled onto his front and sank his teeth into his apple. Benedict, old chum, he said. You worry too much. Ben exhaled and thought maybe Freddie was right. Honestly, said Freddie, we'll be right as rain and gay as a ninepence. You'll see. Moscow, May 2009. The deepest vaults of the Kremlin storehouses were as bad as anyone's cellars. It fell to a young intern to sort them out late that spring. He relabeled and reshelved boxes and boxes of documents from another time, before Glasnost, before the welcoming of McDonald's into Russia's capital city, from long before he had even been born. If he had had the time to rummage through them, they might have been fascinating, but there were far too many. They were to be catalogued and sorted, that was all. At the end of his second day of housekeeping, Ivan paused in his work. Lying alone on one of the highest metal shelves was a white oblong envelope. On it were the intriguing words, "To be opened only by the leader of the Soviet Union in 2007. Ivan put down his pen and clipboard and flipped the envelope thoughtfully. He'd always wanted to deliver something direct to the president.